My name is Frank Ellis. I was, to the best of my knowledge, born at home. My father was Harry Ellis and my mother Carrie Ellis. I know that they married when my mother was 18, which would be 1924. And when I was born, the middle one of seven children, we lived at number 7, Holmley Field Lane, which subsequently became number 23. And I lived there with my parents until my father's death in February 1956. And sometime thereafter, possibly about a year after, my mother and the three brothers still at home moved to Rothwell. Well, my father was a coal miner, and I assume that he'd been working in mines from leaving school. I'm not certain. I don't know a great deal. Just that at the time we lived in Holmley Field Lane, up until the time of his death in 1956, that he worked down the pit at Waterhaig. And latterly, with different people, I suppose, he was working on what they call faults, not on the actual coal face, and working on a fault that brought about his death in 1956. I think both my grandfathers also worked in collieries. I didn't know my father's father very well, nor his mother. His father did come to live with us, and he died at number 7, Holmley Field Lane. My mother's parents lived down the bottom of the garden, really, at East View in Oulton, and I remember them very well. We were regular visitors to their house. By the time I was visiting, as we children all visited, that he'd been retired and was no longer working. Growing up in Holmleyfield Lane, I went to school. The only school was St John's Church of England School, probably due to the fact that money was scarce. I didn't bother sitting the, what one would call nowadays, 11-plus exams, because I didn't feel that my parents would be able to afford to have me going to grammar school or prolonging my entering work after 15 years old. But very happy childhood. During the war years, of course, we saw very little of it and weren't bothered by it at all. The occasional searchlight and noises coming from Leeds, which was attacked several times during the war. But school days were very, very happy. A lot of nice school friends, and I had a thoroughly enjoyable time at school. I left school in July 1948, and my first job was working for a gentleman who made wooden toys. Some little building close to what was then Carter's Fish Shop, and close to the chapel in Oulton. And I worked there for about 9 months, I think, and then left there and went to work at Waterhaig on the surface. First as a screen hand, as they call them, and then later into the blacksmith shop. I was there for some, I don't know now, let's see, think about it, about 8 years.
Tell me about working as a screen hand, because that was quite a cold and dirty job, wasn't it?
Not necessarily cold, certainly dirty. Anything to do with working on the surface with the coal coming out of the pit was dirty, some dirtier than others. But screen hand was just what it said, that the coal and such coming up from the depths of the pit were tipped onto shakers. The shaker threw the separated things into different sizes, and the larger pieces came onto belts, which then had to be screened, hence the name, of any dirt that was amongst it. And that went on to a conveyor belt taken out to the site where it was then disposed of on the pit slag heaps. And cold, perhaps it might have been, I suppose, on some winter's days, but one didn't really notice because you're too busy working and that kept you warm.
And that was that a job that they always gave to new boys arriving at the pit?
Well, anybody who didn't sort of qualify in some manner or had no ability, let's say, to be a joiner, electrician, painter, plumber or whatever, yes, I would imagine that that's what would happen, that they would be given some job on the surface that was not dangerous and not too hard. And for whatever reason, the blacksmith is short of a striker, someone less likely to be a striker, I can't imagine. So I was skinnily built in those days, not the kind of person you would imagine wielding a 7-pound sledgehammer, but that's what I did for the next several years whilst I worked at the pit. The blacksmith brought the hot metal out of the fire, placed it on the anvil, and then he had a hand hammer where he more or less beat the tune. He tapped with the hammer and you thumped it with the big sledgehammer and made all sorts of different gadgets for use around the pit. There would be one, two, three blacksmiths on a regular basis, one of whom, an older chap called Jack Smith, basically just did the sharpening up of tools for down the pit, the miners' pickaxes and this kind of thing, just general maintenance. And the blacksmith, both two blacksmiths I worked with, did the bigger work, making chains and all sorts of other metal pieces for the different parts of the pit that needed them. The first one I worked with was a gentleman called Wilf Atack. He had a dispute with management and went off to work at Yorkshire Copper Works. And then a very nice gentleman called Herbert Wood, who lived at Horbury near Wakefield, often wondered how he managed to be at work for 7 o'clock in the morning and having to come so far. But he was very, very good and probably the most skilled blacksmith I've ever seen. He could do marvels with a piece of hot metal. Only a small man, I should say about 5'6", not very well built, but a marvellous blacksmith and a very nice person.
And were you on an apprenticeship then?
No, no kind of apprenticeship, no. You went to the pit, it's just like my brothers, two of my brothers went to Yorkshire, Bentley's Yorkshire Brewery. And just one of those things, in those days in Oulton, there were lots of opportunities for what you might call heavy work, some heavier than others. We had a quarry, we had a brickworks, we had Bentley's Yorkshire Brewery, and we had the pit, and they were the main sources of employment. Unless you were lucky enough to be skilled as a driver, in which case you could get a job, let's say, at Regent Oil Company down at the end of Fleet Lane or Hargreaves in Rothwell. But there was scope for everybody. There was no shortage of work for anybody in Oulton at that time. My father worked at the pit. He liked to sort of rest, didn't go out a great deal. The basic things I remember are Sunday afternoons, when after Sunday lunch, which was the big meal of the week for working families, he'd get his concertina out, play music, and we'd all have a bit of a sing-song. He liked the occasional drink. He wasn't a regular drinker, no. And I would say that if he did go out for a drink, it would be no more than 2 pints at any time. He smoked a little, but not a great deal. His hobby, you might say, get his pleasure of visiting his many brothers and sisters, because both my parents came from large families. And that's one of the other things I remember, is going to various places in Leeds, Beeston, Armley, Hare Hills, to see his brothers and sisters. And then somewhere in Hunslet Carr, where we used to visit one of his aunties, one of my great aunts. And this was almost a regular weekend feature. He'd take one or other of we children with him to visit his brothers and sisters. Now, Wolliford and Oulton haven't changed all that much. There are houses and bungalows on all the spare land where we used to play around as boys. Most of Quarry Hill still exists. They've taken a chunk out of the terrace houses going up the left-hand side, which used to start with Minot's shop at the bottom. The thing that one feels coming back as an older person is that it's only half the size it was, that streets no longer have the same length and the distances between one spot and another are not quite as vast as they seemed when you were children. But it's changed very, very little. The whole area around here, North Lane, Holmley Field Lane, Green Lee, East View, West View, it's all practically as it was when I was a boy going to school. Oh, the atmosphere is different as it is throughout England, I suppose. There's possibly less of a feeling of neighbourliness. Growing up as a boy in Holmley Field Lane, there were, I think in my 21 years there, there were only two changes of families in the whole row of houses, which probably numbered about 30. You had the same neighbours sort of on a permanent basis, and you grew up with neighbours, and you're all good friends. And of course, no cars in those days, no telephones, no television, totally different world, but an enjoyable world.